Would you take your Bibles this evening? We'll get right into it. Matthew 11, please. Matthew chapter 11. And again, as you know, on Sunday evenings, the last two Sunday evenings, we've gone through looking at the topic of emotions and seeing what God has for us, the Word of God has for us, and the topic of the emotional state of the believer and how we can really overcome and really put into practice what the Bible says in regards to this. Now, for sake of time tonight, let's jump all the way down to verse 28, if you will. Matthew 11, 28. And Jesus says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden." Notice that. "And I will give you more burdens." Does it say that? No. "I will give you rest." And then he says, "Take my yoke upon you, learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." There's a wonderful opportunity here that Jesus gives to each one of us to give Him our burdens, that which we have been laden with. I gave the story of the little boy, you know, carrying the backpack, and it's heavy, and the little boy looked up and said, "Oh, my daddy knows how much I can carry. It's okay." And it's truly a fact, isn't it, that the Lord, sometimes you think about, "Oh, Lord, this is too much for me. It's way too much." But God knows how much you can handle, and God knows what you're going through. Now, as we saw this a little bit over the last couple of weeks, we looked at several characters. We saw in the life of Elijah last week how that God helped him, to say the least, as he was running from Jezebel. She had put a bounty out on his head and put his picture up in every store and in every place in town, just like the Old West, and said, "Wanted, dead or alive, and primarily if you could kill him, that'd be great." You know, he had a bounty out on his head. And so Elijah ran, and he went out, and he went through this whole dialogue with the Lord, if you will. And we saw that there's some more, if you will, superficial factors that we can help and apply to our emotional state. He needed something to eat. He needed some to drink, and he needed some rest. And that's very clear for us. We also looked at, as God directed several other characters throughout the Bible in that way, of number one, as we saw, they submitted their emotions in the life of Samson, the first one, unto and under the Word of God. That's the first point we must understand. We must take everything and submit it to the Word of God. You say, "Well, I don't know how to do that." Well, that's why we've got to know the Bible. That's why we've got to know what the Bible says. And understanding what the Bible says, we're not going to know everything right off the top of our heads, but we're going to know what the Word of God says. So submitting that to Him and trusting Him in that process. Now, as we look tonight, Jesus makes it very clear, as He already lays out for most of His people and the disciples in particular, what He wants them to do and how He wants them to serve and go forward. And He gives a little idea for us, or a command, if you want to say, to bring our heavy laden burdens to Him. Now notice the call, number one, to come unto me. Come unto me. You know, there's a little bit of an effort that needs to be put forth on our part, right? Some people make it so difficult, and I say this very very respectfully, but make it so difficult for the Lord. Now, nothing's too hard for God, but we make it hard for God, you know, to bless us, to help us, to guide us. We don't put forth the effort maybe we need to put forth. And He says, if you want help and if you want your burdens eased or lightened, if you will, if you want to walk in the yoke with me that's easy and the burden is light. The word easy there, Webster defines it as not being heavy or burdensome. So people say, "Oh, the light, following Christ is so easy." Well, it's not. That's not what He means. It's a light burden, right? And that's what He wants for us. You have lived the Christian life for more than 2 days. You realize that you don't get a lot of things easier when you become a Christian. In fact, it usually becomes harder, doesn't it? In a lot of ways. But we receive the blessings and the wonderful presence of the Lord Jesus Christ to guide us through each of these things. So we understand, though, that we do need help. Now, I want to emphasize this evening here briefly the emotional state of the spiritual. What should that be for us? Now, there's two primary results of having our emotions in check with the Lord and with under the authority of the Bible. Number one is joy, and number two is peace. Joy and peace are two primary characteristics of a person whose emotions are settled and submitted under the Word of God and to the Lord, to the Holy Spirit. You may not always be happy. That's a term the world uses. It has to do with happenstance. If your happenstances are good, then you're happy, right? But it's not always the case. We know that. Our situations are rather difficult most of the time. So the Bible doesn't use the word happy. It uses the word joyful or joy. That's a Bible word. And joy is an overwhelming or a steady state of being. Whether good, bad, or ugly, we still have the joy of the Lord. Now, this is referenced many times throughout Scripture, and I won't read all of them, but suffice it to say that we should have the joy. Now, the picture given to us here in Matthew 11 is that of taking a yoke upon us. I've preached this out of this portion of Scripture several times before. But talking about a yoke is what you would take. You understand, some of you that have grown up maybe on a farm or other places, and you understand it. It locks in two oxen or two bulls together or whatever you're plowing with. Why? So they can be in step with each other. You can't have them going like this and every which way. You're gonna mess everything up. And so they'll put them in a yoke together, right? It locks their necks together, if you will. And the picture here given to us is wonderful. We are going step for step with Jesus Christ. Now, a natural tendency for me as a human being is what? To get out ahead of the Lord. What happens? When I'm locked in that yoke, it stops me. Oh, okay. The Lord says, wait. Okay. And then when I get a little lazy and apathetic, as I usually do, what happens? Well, so, and I picture this all the time. Some Christians are just kind of dragging along with the yoke. The Lord's kind of dragging them along. We shouldn't be that way, you know, but that's another picture. When I do get a little bit behind, a little bit lax, and the yoked up with the Lord, He's helping me along. And He's given me that. And boy, I want to tell you something. When you're yoked up with Jesus Christ, listen, you're step for step with Him, and you don't miss out on anything. People say, well, I'm always a day late and a dollar short. You ever feel that way? With Jesus Christ, you're not. You are always on time spiritually. You're always in your place, if you will. You're right where God wants you to be. It takes submission, though. It takes a willing submission on your part. Now, He says, come to me. Come to me. Now, He specifies not only the call, but notice secondly, the specification, if you want to call it. All ye that labor, one, and are heavy laden. Laboring and heavy laden. Well, that could encompass really all of us, couldn't it? But notice what He says, those that are laboring. There's a special place and a special, what you want to call, I guess, a help to those that truly labor for Jesus Christ. That truly put forth an effort. You say, well, I don't do much. Yeah, you do. You've prioritized your Sundays to be in church. You've prioritized your life around Jesus Christ. He's at the top of your list. You're serving Him. You're doing things. And if you're filled with the Spirit, you're allowing everything to filter through the Holy Spirit. You're watching what you say and what you watch and what you look at, what you're involved with and who you communicate with and et cetera and so forth. But He says, all ye that labor, can I encourage you to be laboring for the Lord? You know, a lot of things stem from a bad emotional state. I know, and I'll use myself as an example, from what? Not being laboring or busy for the Lord. I'm too stuck on self. I'm too interested in other things. And what happens? We fall into this emotional state that we shouldn't be in. We follow through with that. And we think about some of those things. He says, come to me, all ye that labor. Come to me, all ye that are heavy laden. Come to me, those of you that are burdened down, that have things. And by the way, I often think about this. Where does the world go when they're laboring and heavy laden? Where do they go? They only have a few options. Really, you know, you think about it. One's the go to the alcohol, you go to the pills, you go to the drugs, you go to the illicit relationships, you go to whatever you do. I don't know what the world is doing these days, but I'm pretty sure it's the same as it's always been. Where do they go? That's where they go. Where do we go? That's a convicting thought. Where do I go? Am I running to the cross? Am I running to the Savior? Am I running to the Word of God and saying, God, you know I'm laboring. You know I'm heavy laden. You've promised me rest, By the way, just a little reminder, a little refresher for us. If Jesus promises something in the Bible, you claim it. Go claim it. It's not wrong to say, well, I feel like I'm telling God what to do. No, you're not. You are stating a fact. I will give you rest. Jesus, you said you'll give me rest. I'm waiting, you know. You said you'll give me rest. Would you please do that? He will give you rest. He will provide. Oh, my friends, I know that you understand this, but just to reiterate, how's your emotional state tonight? Now, thinking about this, the joy of the Lord. The joy of the Lord. As we see here throughout Scripture, the joy of the Lord should be evident in the life of the believer. The joy of the Lord should be seen. Let me just clarify again. It does not mean you're hopping up and down, rejoicing, running down the street all the time. Because we do bear heavy burdens. We do bear heavy loads. All of that. You think about, let me read to you 1 Peter. You don't have to turn there. But 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 8, he says, whom having not seen ye love, in whom, he's talking about Jesus, though now ye see him not yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Having not seen him, having not understanding a lot of things, you don't see him, but what happens? You have joy unspeakable. That's full of glory. That's exactly a mark of a believer. That's a mark of a child of God who knows their Bible, who prays regularly, who spends time in prayer, and who exercises their faith in Him. Joy unspeakable. You can't even explain it. You ever been there? You can't even explain it. And that's what he's talking about. Oh, the joy, the psalmist goes through and talks about the joy that they have in Christ and in the Lord. My friends, today, the emotional state of the spiritual one should be joy. But let me say, secondly, should be the peace of God. Now, you know that Paul talks about that peace of God that passes all understanding that comes to the life of a believer when we what? We give our petitions, if you will, to Him. By the way, don't hold anything back from the Lord. He already knows everything, but you know the unique thing about our relationship with Him is He says, I want to hear it from you. You and I basically know the needs of our children before they ask. We know what they're going to ask. We know what they're going to say. We know that. But we enjoy hearing them ask, don't we? You enjoy hearing your grandchildren ask you or something of that nature. There's something about that. And that's something God put within us. And God has specifically told us to pray without ceasing, to continuously pray. Give our petitions. We looked at on Wednesday evening in our Bible study in 1 Timothy. He talks about praying for those in authority. He says prayers, intercessions, giving of thanks. We ought to be praying for them, but in different aspects and ways. Supplications, that's specific prayer. Intercessions, that's intercessory prayer. Praying on the behalf of somebody else. Oh, so many things we could do. But those are the prayers. And what comes? The peace of God that passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds. We talked about that in 2 Corinthians in 10, how he says in casting down imaginations, every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Again, you're taking thought. We can't help some thoughts, and they can cause and lead to a bad emotional state. They cause resentment and bitterness and other things. Have you ever been there? Just yesterday, something popped in my head, and it brought up within me some bitterness. I thought, ooh, Hebrews says, be careful about that, right? Lest a root of bitterness springing up spoil some. Again, doesn't say remove the roots. There's roots deep within all of us that we can't get rid of. They've been put there throughout the different events we've gone through and different experiences. But what can happen? Little sprouts can come out of those roots. If we're not careful, we get rid of that. We put that back aside and we give that to the Lord. We're talking about that, thinking about that, right? We bring into captivity those thoughts. We can't help some things, but when those thoughts come, we give them immediately to the Lord. And we immediately submit those things to Him and to the Word of God. Understanding what the Bible says. Does that make sense? The peace of God. He says in 2 Peter 1, 2, peace be multiplied by the knowledge of Him. The knowledge of God, an understanding of Him, an understanding of who He is, it brings peace. And that peace is multiplied, and that peace is growing, that peace that's within us is strengthened. By what? Knowledge of the Word and knowledge of the Savior. You've got to know what Jesus and who He is. You've got to know what He offers. You don't know what He offers. You don't know what He gives to us and the opportunities there. Read a story just recently of a man who was very intimidated to file his taxes because he didn't know what was going to happen. He was so scared. He didn't know. He said, I'm going to owe the government so much money. I don't know. He didn't file. And finally, they had to seize some of his property. And those IRS agents that came, they said, sir, according to your record, if you would have simply filed, you would not have paid, but we would have actually given you several thousand dollars. He thought, oh, man. Why? He didn't know. He didn't file. He didn't know the code, the tax codes. He didn't know anything about that. And I think about how many Christians, we just don't know the God of the Bible. Oh, and what He offers. Now again, I will give you rest. Notice that there with me. We come to Jesus. We give Him all of our burdens. What's He give back in return? This isn't fair. Rest. We give Him all of our issues, all of our burdens, all of our headaches and trials, everything else. What's He give in return? Rest. Isn't that a Savior? I'm so thankful. I am so thankful we have a Savior in Jesus Christ. I'm so thankful that we have Him, as I talked about this morning, the God, the living God. We don't serve a dead God. We serve a living Savior today. Ah, praise God for that. But notice, I give Him that, He gives me rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me. Are you learning about Christ? Do you know Him? So many people don't learn about Him. We're teaching the kids, obviously in their schooling, about the Lord and about what He's done and about His creation and about the Bible. And in our Bible Institute on Thursdays, us adults are learning a lot more about Him. But He says, learn of me. Find out who I am. Get to know me a little bit better. Get to know. Isn't it fascinating if you're like me? That I know more about certain athletes than I do the Lord. Oh, I could quote to you this and that, where they went to college and what they played and what their points per game are and everything else. Learn of me, Jesus says. The average teenage boy today knows more about cars and more about guns than he does the Bible. The average girl today knows more about sewing and I don't know, whatever. You understand, you think about today, we need more. And by the way, just 100 years ago, our country was in a lot better state of being because we were teaching our kids this book. It wasn't removed from the schools. Prayer was not removed from the schools. And God help us today, we can't even use he and she. God help us. And you see, if we learn anything from history is what? We don't learn anything from history. And this is coming full circle to the greatest nations who have ever existed in all of human history. And you see, we're down near the end now of this circle as where they promote all these kinds of perverted things and ideology and everything else. And what comes next? The end of a nation. And I pray and I believe, according to the Bible, we're coming down to the end. And I hope the Lord returns very soon. You ought to be praying for that as well. Simultaneously with His return, you ought to be praying for the souls of the lost ones around you. You know that. Okay, let me wrap it up here. He says, come to me. Now notice this joy and peace that are two characteristics of the emotional state of a spiritual person. Now, let me clarify. You can be saved, but not spiritual. I can be saved, but not spiritual. I can know the Lord as my Savior, but not walk in the Spirit. That's very clear. And there are two people, spiritual people and unspiritual. Unspiritual people cannot discern the Word of God, the way of God, and the will of God. They just can't do it. I don't know what the Lord wants for me. I don't know why He's allowing me to go through all these things. No, a spiritual person says what? I don't know why He allows me to go through this, but I know He has a plan. And I know He has something for me out on the other side of this tunnel. And I know what he's positioning me for a reason. Now notice, it brings stability and steadiness to the soul of the spiritual. The peace of God and the joy. Romans 8, we know nothing shall separate me from the love of God. So if we know that, if that's a clear promise of Scripture, that nothing, and you ought to read through Romans 8 again, nor height, nor depth, nor anything can separate me from the love of God. Boy, that changes your whole idea of who Jesus is. Because he has my best interest in mind all the time. He has everything good for me. He wants me to bring them to him. Bring my burdens. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me. And then he says, for I'm meek and lowly in heart. You shall find rest unto your souls. Rest unto your souls. Oh, my friends, today people are looking for rest. They want rest, but they can't find it. They want to find out. People often, here's the biggest thing. I don't want to come to Jesus. Why? Because he's difficult. Because he's mean-spirited. Because I thought that way at one time. I know some of you have. Oh, he's this very angry person, old man with a long white beard up in the sky, just angry with me all the time. And he's just waiting to judge my sin. And he wants to punish me. And again, a lot of our idea of God comes from how we were brought up. We get an idea of God from maybe an authority figure in the home or something of that nature. And we think sometimes, oh, he's an angry person. No. Notice what Jesus says lastly here, verse 30. For my yoke is easy, my burden is light. I want you to come to me. Give me your burdens. Tell me what you're going through. Oh, you know that, Lord, but tell me. Tell me what you need. Tell me what you're going through. Knowing this, we need the knowledge of the Word. We need to be yielded to the Spirit. We talked about that last week. And we need to be submitted to His will. Lastly, if you will, turn to Philippians chapter 2. I want you to see this and then we'll close out here. Philippians chapter 2. Now this talks again about the wonderful, wonderful thing that Jesus did for us. Philippians chapter number 2. And verse number 5, if you would note. And Paul says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. He says, have the same mindset that Jesus had, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. But notice verse 7, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of man. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Now note that with me. What Jesus did was, he humbled himself and became obedient unto the will of the Father. That includes his emotions. That includes his wants, his needs, his feelings, all of it. He submitted himself to Jesus, or to the Lord, to the Father. He submitted himself. You think about that here. He submitted his will to that of the Father. As he prayed there in the Garden of Gethsemane, as we'll look at, Lord willing, next Sunday, and leading up to the cross, and he made the great statement, and he said, Lord, if this cup pass from me, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. That ought to be a prayer, that ought to be a part of our prayer every day. Lord, you know my needs. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Lord, you know we want 20 acres next door. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. You know we want a cemetery out back. Did you all hear that plan yet? Some of you missed that plan. You like it. Yeah, see? Our cemetery out, can you imagine it now? Anyways, Lord, you know I'm being very silly, but let's get serious now. He said, you know, Lord, I want to do your will. Your will. Notice he's had knowledge of the Word, yielded to the Spirit. Now, we'll wrap this up tonight, but what's your emotional state? I hope that you're submitted to the Word of God. Obviously, easy to say, hard to do. I know that. Our dear folks, we have several in here tonight that are dealing with tremendous burdens, dealing with tremendous problems. They didn't ask for them. They wouldn't wish on their worst enemy. But God's allowing maybe you to go through something this evening. You don't understand, but you trust Him. And you say, God, I won't get out of hand with this. I'm going to submit to you, to your Word, to your will. Jesus said, come to me. Come to me. My friends, can I encourage you this week, as I try to each and every Sunday evening, this week ahead, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, you need to spend time in the Bible. You need to spend time alone with God. He'll speak to you. He really will. You need to spend time in prayer. You say, I don't know, when I get alone to pray, I just don't know what to pray. Start praying for other people. Just pray for it. Just name people. Everybody you know, pray for them. And then ask God, God, would you direct and use me in a special way as you see fit? I want to be a part of your will. I want to do what you want me to do. And God will use you. It's amazing to see and feel what God will do in your life, isn't it? How He'll transform your emotional state. He'll transform your mind, as we looked at in 2 Corinthians. He'll transform your desires. God doesn't remove all of your desires in your heart when you submit to Him. He enhances them. He says, I know, Tim, you want to do that, and I know you want that, and I know you have an inclination towards that type of thing. I'm not going to remove all of that. I'm going to use that for my glory. I'm going to use that. Some of you have special talents that you use every day in your vocation, in your workplace. God wants to use that for His glory and to further His gospel. Would you submit your heart to Him and your life to Him? Thank you for listening and coming on Sunday evenings. I believe it's a very helpful time. As you wake up, go home tonight, sleep. I hope you have a good night's rest. But you wake up tomorrow for another week ahead of you, busy week. Would you please prioritize the Lord Jesus Christ in your life? I'd guarantee you, you won't regret it. And you'll look back one day, hopefully when you're with the Lord Jesus Christ. He'll say, hey, you remember Sunday night, April the 3rd, I think it is, 2022? You'll go, 2022? That long ago? Oh, yeah, and he'll pull it up and he'll give you a snapshot of this right here. Oh, yeah, okay, kind of vaguely, I don't really. Oh, look at the kids over there. Look how little they were. Look at that. He'll go, you remember that? Well, vaguely, Lord. Aren't you thankful you were there? Yeah, I was, yes. And then he'll bring up for me another snapshot of me somewhere at a ball game or something, doing something silly. You remember that? I'll go, oh, yeah, shamefully, yes. I'm telling you, you'll be glad you were in the house of God. You'll be glad you prioritized the Word of God and the way of God and the Word of will of God for your life. Amen? All right. Do you have joy tonight? Do you have peace in your heart? I'd encourage you to get alone with the Lord and ask Him to help you in these areas. He will. Amen? Well, I thank you all. I love all of you. Thank you so much for coming today. I believe God's going to do something great here. I know it. I believe it. I know you do too. And look forward to our month ahead. We've got a lot coming. And so stay with us, okay? Stay with us. Pray with us. Pray for us as a church. And be faithful. If I can encourage you to be faithful. And I know you already are, but I pray you would be, okay? I'll be praying for you this week. Let's have a word of prayer and we'll go head our way tonight. Lord, thank you again for an opportunity to share your word. And what a joy and a privilege it is to be around your people. It's so refreshing as you, many of these folks work out in the world. It's just so refreshing to gather around God's people. It's so comforting. And I know that God, if any of us had a burden or prayer request, that we would gather around and we would rally together to pray and to do what we could to help out. I pray you'd help us, Lord, to do that. And I pray for your help this week as we go our separate ways. Empower us with your Spirit. Lead us as only you can, Father. Bring us back, if you will, please, on Wednesday. And then, Lord, into the next weekend. We can't wait to see what you're going to do with us. We love you and thank you. And I hope, Lord, that what was said today, what was done in your house was pleasing to you. And we want to do everything for your honor and glory. In Jesus' precious name again. And amen.